I just had Jack Rice on Thursday, but the insane level of news that is coming out of northern Syria right now involving the Kurds warranted me to try to get in touch with him again. He's kind enough to join us. Jack Rice is our international and intelligence expert. He is kind enough to talk a little bit about what the heck is going on in northern Syria. Jack, thank you very much once again for the time.
Again, great to be with you.
My pleasure. It's insanity when you think about how quickly this is almost, it's moving, because we had, I think late on Friday, American troops came under fire from the Turks, which I ask you that? I mean, that's crazy. There's no way in the world the Turks accidentally shelled the U.S. forces, is there?
No. No, there isn't. In fact, because they knew exactly where they were. So that simply isn't a mistake. And sadly, the real problem again, and you and I talked about this a couple of days ago, is that so much of what's going on right now is absolutely foreseeable. If somebody had sat down and looked at this issue, and actually they have, if this president had actually gone to the Pentagon and actually talked to the people who address the issues on the battlefield and said, this is how this will play out, this is what will happen, because they have already done this. If he had done that and actually listened to the pros in the field and the pros at the Pentagon and the pros at the agency and the pros in other parts of the U.S. government, he would have recognized what was going on. But he decided that, again, he is the smartest man in the room, so therefore he doesn't need to talk to professionals who have been doing this for their entire careers.
And the thing which I find interesting is the first thing I said is, I think the Turks know that the U.S. won't retaliate, that they've got Trump over a barrel right now. And so what they've done, and you know they're saying this, oh, we shelled the United States and we're scaring them out of Syria. Look at how strong we are now. We're validating this genocide, and it's disturbing. As are some of the details that are coming out of what the Turkish troops are doing, the story of what happened to the politician, Hervin Kalaf, a 35-year-old Kurdish politician, an activist there. She was dragged from her car and killed. There are reports that not only she was killed, but she was raped, tortured, and then executed via stoning by the Turks, which I don't know if that's been confirmed, but I do know that she was dragged. A politician in northern Syria was dragged from her car and shot. Executed. How it happened, we're not sure, but there are war crimes going on right now in northern Syria.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Again, you've seen, if you're on Twitter or a whole bunch of other things right now, sadly, you're seeing some of this happening in real time. And so you're seeing people who are being simply executed on the side of the road. They're defenseless, they have been taken prisoner, and they're just simply shot. That is a war crime. And in fact, that's one of the other issues that was foreseeable. And we have to remember, a lot of these people, these were the very same people who were fighting shoulder to shoulder with Americans not very long ago. These were the very same people who were being held up as heroes in defending against ISIS. They were the ones who fought them. They were the ones who took them down. And in fact, that's what we were talking about and holding them up. But now what we're saying is, you know what? We don't care. Look, you can look at the likes of retired four-star General John Allen. He was the commander of all troops in Afghanistan. And he's the one who said, and this is unparalleled. I don't know if I can recall ever seeing anything like this, not in my lifetime, where he actually said, President Trump has blood on his hands. You don't see that. Mm-mm. You don't see that in the United States. And when you actually have something like that, that tells you exactly how much, again, the professionals are looking at this issue and saying, what have we become?
You brought that up. How about the Green Berets? I have never, as a person, I was in the U.S. Army, I never heard the Green Berets ever besmirching anything in government. And they are very vocal. We have betrayed these people. We have failed. They are stunned at the United States decision, Trump's decision to leave here. I've never heard the Green Berets talk back.
No, rightfully so. I mean, you're seeing this from SA, Special Forces. You're seeing this from, and remember, Green Berets, what they are, these are the trainers. These are highly experienced, highly capable, not just in terms of operations, but in terms of language, in terms of culture, in terms of working side by side with foreign nationals to help them do what they do. And they're the best in the world at it. And they're also patriots at a level which is just impossible to understand unless you've actually worked with them. And when you see them coming out like this, this is not something you see. I really, this is not something that you see. This is a much different situation than we've seen. But you know what? It's not shocking, because here's what we have now. And even since you and I spoke, and I knew this was coming, there was a pivot that has taken place. What we've seen is, since the president made the decision to abandon these Kurdish fighters in the field, knowing full well that they would be slaughtered, and they are, what the Kurds have had to do is they've had to pivot and basically turn to the Assad regime and to the Russians and say, please help us. Please help us, because literally all of us and our families and everybody else is going to be slaughtered and killed and left on the side of the road. And so what's happened now is the Assad regime is now coming from the south. They're not going to be fighting the Kurds. They're going to be taking the country back. And what that also means is all of those ISIS fighters that were taken, and there were tens of thousands of them that were taken, these were actually being held by Kurdish forces. Do you really think the Kurdish forces are going to risk their lives anymore on behalf of the Americans, or are they just going to walk away and try to save their lives and the lives of their families? But one last point before, I know you have more questions.
Yeah.
What the president said was this, and I wrote this down because the quote was maybe more astounding than anything else. His response about the ISIS soldiers and supporters getting away, he said, well, they're going to escape to Europe, meaning it's, well, they're not coming to the United States, so they're going to go to Europe. Now, that's the defense. Understand what that means. This is not normal. We don't do this. Understand what it is to be all of Eastern Europe, all of Southern Europe. Let's talk about Germany. Let's talk about France. Let's talk about the Scandinavian countries, Britain, all of them. They're watching this, knowing that this is on their doorstep, much more than it is on ours. But the blowback is so much bigger than just what happens to the Kurds themselves. Mm-hmm. And if I were the Russians, I could not have accomplished more if I had an asset sitting in the big chair in the Oval Office.
Well, and there we go, because you're right. Let's bring the Russians on in on this, because you talk about the Syrians. The Kurds, out of nowhere else to go, pleaded with the Russians to create a no-fly zone, help create a no-fly zone. So there is this. The Russians themselves are playing both sides of the coin. Not only, I believe, they're supplying the Turks with weapons, but now they're the savior of the Kurds with the Syrians. And so they basically are in full control of this entire situation down there right now.
Well, remember, what we've seen is the Assad regime has been essentially funded, bankrolled, and armed by the Russians themselves. So you're seeing Russian weapons coming from the south. At the same time, you're going to see those very same weapons starting to roll to the Kurds. You've also seen, and this is the amazing part, is you're seeing the Russians who have been supplying the Turks. So now what you have are the Russians who have their closest allies in the region, which were the Assad regime and the Iranians, who have also pushed the Turks toward Vladimir Putin. So they have done that too. Now, if you add into that piece the fact that when the Russians invaded the Crimea in Ukraine, the Americans did nothing under this president. In fact, he was trying to lift sanctions. That's why he was purposely doing that, until people threw up their arms and said, wait a second, you can't do that. So the Russians win. Then what we found is the Americans pulled back when they tried to undercut NATO and every other international organization on the planet. And the thing is many of those were designed and set up and established by Republicans and Democrats to stand up to the Russians. Pulling those down did one thing. It provided a vacuum for the Russians to actually operate, and they have done so with vigor. Now, finally, you look at what's happened in the Middle East with this pullback. Literally, if you had an asset sitting in the Oval Office, you couldn't ask for more. Now, whether they have one or not is a separate question. But what I can tell you is that if you did have one, this is exactly what one would do.
And that's the part which I'm stunned by. I mean, all these Republicans who, when this initially broke, were, I'm outraged. They're not doing anything. They're letting this happen. They're basically, there seems to be, and I'll go back to this and I'll say this. This is me saying it. you know, clearly I think the Russians not only realized they had to get control of Trump, which I think they'd have clearly because everything he does seems to be a Christmas lift from the Russians. But at the same time, through the infiltration of the NRA, they seem to have gotten control of a large portion of the Republican Party as well. And this is the scariest element of this whole thing is that, will the Russians, will they tolerate their asset in the government being dethroned by a regular election, or will they do what Putin has done himself and send over assassination squads, try to assassinate the Democratic candidate at the hours before the election, try to do something of that nature? I mean, I'm just disturbed by where this is going because this is really, I mean, when your own forces are looking and saying, what are you doing? The Republicans initially said this is insanity, but now they're all quiet. The reality is that the Russians have won, and they have control of the United States right now through Trump and the Republican Party.
Well, if nothing else, here's what we can say, is that when we look at all of the decisions made by this president, they are absolutely consistent with the policies that Vladimir Putin has argued for and stumped for more than a decade. And so this was a win. But one thing that I think people need to consider, and that's that, For whatever reason, one of the things that will come at some point is when the Russians will turn. Because remember, they don't care about Donald Trump. They care about the instability of the United States so Russia can operate better. So there will come a time, if it's not found out earlier or there hasn't been a successful investigation on the point, but there will come a time when the Russians will pivot in their own way, because if they can undercut and take down whoever they need to take down for their own benefit, they will do that. But what it's really about is taking down the United States, because that's what this has always been about, because they don't care. They don't care about the Republicans. They've never cared about the Republicans. They certainly don't care about Donald Trump. They could care less. This is about benefiting Russia. It's what they do. I mean, from a professional standpoint, look, as a former CIA case officer, I got to tip my hat. It's a hell of an op. It's a hell of an odd. And they have to be sitting back right now, pouring vodka and looking at the geopolitical map and watching what's going on live feeds around the world and say, damn, did we play this out? Damn, did we just pull this out at a level we never thought we could pull out? And they're just downing it down. And by the way, from their perspective, they should.
Yeah. Liz Cheney today saying, I mean, you want to know how complete this is. Liz Cheney saying, oh, the Turks killing all the Kurds is the Democrats' fault. Okay, one, no, it's not. And two, then why aren't you doing something to stop it? Because you do have the president who can control the military. It's the entire thing. It just reeks. And what I eventually think is going to happen here is we're going to get the whole truth eventually. But whether or not the Republican Party survives it or goes the way of the Whigs, we'll have to see. But at the same time, I look at this whole thing and I just think about the people, the war crimes are going on. The ISIS, you mentioned the ISIS fighters. My God, how many, tens of thousands of not only ISIS fighters, but also people sympathetic to ISIS have all been released, basically. And they're running, now they're on their own. And we had this under control, and because of Trump and because of his compromised nature, we're seeing a genocide, another genocide on this planet.
Now, what we know is that there's some 300,000 civilians that are in this border area. At least as of right now, the latest reports have at least 150,000 of them on the run. At least 150,000. There's another 100,000 refugees on the Turkish side, and those are turning into ghost towns, too, out of fear of what the Turks will do, because again, the Turks have many times not just gone after the Kurds in the northern Syria regions, and that's something they see. They look at the Turks inside their own country. They call them the Turkish Workers Party, the PKK, and they consider them terrorists. South of the border, they're known as the YPG, and what they are cousins of the Kurds inside of Turkey. And so from their perspective, these are terrorists, and their job is to go down and root them out and kill them one or two or ten at a time. And they're doing exactly that. They said they were going to do it. They've tried to do it in the past. This is not a shock. This was no secret. This was very public, and this president knew it and chose to make the decision that he did. that is the reason you're seeing so many people who actually know this topic, mm-hmm. who actually know this area, who know these people, who know how things connect geopolitically, who are just apoplectic about just how much of a disaster this is.
One last quick question. NATO. I mean, Turkey's part of NATO. We, of course, because we have the stooge in the White House and he tweets every hour, we don't see international news like we used to. Where is NATO at on this? And I imagine that they're not too happy about the Turks basically committing genocide.
No. They're tearing themselves to pieces right now, too. And what they're afraid of is the fraying of NATO in the first place. They've already had to fight this issue because they started out with a president who was trying to tear it to pieces and light it on fire. And he came out very clearly doing exactly that. And so his people who've tried to reach back in and say, no, you know what, that's not who the United States is. We're bigger than just any one president. But what we have found at this one is that this one president can have an impact that can go far beyond just the decisions that they make. And so what you have right now is NATO, who's trying to keep all of their members together. But you also have this rising anti-not Semitism, but really anti-refugee, anti-Middle East fervor that this president has actually continued to strike up. And you're seeing that in various parts of the Eastern Europe and other places, too. And so you're trying to keep NATO together. So they're struggling with that issue, too, and they know it.
By the way, one last thing, I'll mention this to you. Andrew Feinberg has the report. Trump's new harsh stance with Turkey is he's going to basically protest Erdogan's invasion and ethnic cleansing of Kurds by raising taxes on American companies that import steel from Turkey and on American consumers who buy products containing Turkish steel, which I don't think, A, that's too many products, and B, you're hurting your own people as opposed to the people of Turkey.
That's where we are. You know, I remember being in northern Iraq and spending time with some of the Kurdish people, and I've had opportunities to spend time talking with even some of the Kurdish leadership about what they were trying to do. And they have been targeted for millennia. They've been targeted by the Syrian regime and before the Syrian regime. They've been targeted by the Turks. They've been targeted by the Iranians. They've been targeted by the Ottomans. They've been targeted by everybody. And in fact, after World War One in 1919, when all of these different organizations and peoples came together to try to argue for, okay, what country is going to be established? So this is what the Europeans did after World War One. It was the Kurds who went and they asked desperately, saying, you know, if we don't have a country, what they're going to do is cut us to pieces one at a time, and they're going to kill us one at a time. And what has happened, almost like Nostradamus would say, is we saw this happen. We knew what was coming, and this is exactly how it's going to work. And sadly, that is exactly what has happened. We promised a lot to them, and they sacrificed a lot on behalf of the United States. And this is how we pay them for it.
Jack, I hope we don't have to talk in another 2 or 3 days, but the way things are going right now, I'm not going to imagine you and I might be talking before too long. I'm going to spotlight this interview once again. Jack Rice, jackrice.net, jackrice.net for all your Jack Rice needs. Jack, I really appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.